KFI is a talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. I'm Terry Raelmer, KFI News.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, the John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau. The celebration continues. Ramos and Compiègne, free as of March 20th. Their sentence commuted by President Bush earlier today. In fact, Terry Ray sent me an email. That's how I first found out. She said in the email, did I just hear on the radio that Ramos and Compiègne got pardoned, or was I hallucinating? It was not a hallucination. Technically, it's not a pardon. It's a commutation. They're still considered convicted felons.
They will have a three-year term of supervised release with all the conditions, and they'll also have to pay some sort of a fine. But the most important thing is they'll be with their families again. Of course, Nacho Ramos is in prison in Arizona and Jose Compiègne in Ohio.
We're going to talk with the wives next hour. They're scheduled for 5 o'clock.
That's right, both of them, so you want to hear that. But one of the other voices who's never faltered in talking and getting people's attention to the case and trying to get President Bush to get these guys out of jail is, of course, Congressman Ed Royce, and he's going to come on now.
Ed Royce from Fullerton, the Republican, who we've had on many times. Ed?
It's a good evening. I'm sure you both feel pretty relieved tonight.
I have a great sense of satisfaction. I mean, the KFI audience really pounded this issue for several years. God knows how many thousands of emails and phone calls they made to everybody in the Bush administration.
Right, and sometimes we mocked you, Ed, because we said, oh, not another letter was sent, but you guys never gave up in terms of trying to get some justice for these two.
Do you have any sense as to what finally tipped the scales?
I am convinced it was the people across the country who sent those letters, and frankly, that voice, I just think that it became so apparent to the White House that the nation felt that this was a miscarriage of justice. And I don't think Ramos and Compiègne would have had a chance without talk radio, without what was done to get their story out across the country. So let me just say, I appreciate the role your listeners played in this. Also, I had an opportunity to talk to the president a few weeks ago about this situation. And the thing that I explained to him that was so vexing, I felt, for the American public was that people who committed murder in this country and received manslaughter as a result had already served as much time in prison and then were released. And here was Agent Ramos and Compiègne trying to do their duty in their minds up against the drug cartel, up against a runner for a drug cartel, and they were looking at 11 and 12 years. And I said, Mr. President, I just feel that, you know, this needs to be done, this computation of the sentence. And he said, we're looking at it. I'm looking at it. That's what he said. I'm looking at it. But I don't think you would have looked at it without the pressure from the public.
When he says, I'm looking at it, can you tell the difference when a politician is trying to brush you off with an I'm looking at it phrase, or that he really meant that he was considering it deeply?
Yes, by whether or not he ends up doing it. And I think what was happening was that the White House had felt, and you know, they're looking at their legacy and their record, and I think everywhere he went, he was probably getting from the public the same questions he got from me. And so we had written to the pardon attorney. I had written a letter to the president that 85 of my colleagues, a few Democrats, mostly Republicans, had signed, expressing this desire to right this wrong. But I think one other point I'd like to make. If Ramos and Compiègne felt that they were guilty, then they would have plea bargained. The reason they faced a possibility of life, was what they were originally threatened with, and faced 11 and 12 years, was because they felt they were not guilty and that this would come out during the trial. And, of course, as you've explained, that evidence was suppressed from the jury. So now you had Johnny Sutton saying that he thought the sentence was too harsh, the prosecutor. You had jury members saying if they had known, they wouldn't have convicted. And I think thanks to the intervention of the American public with all of those letters and phone calls to the White House, tonight at least there's been some semblance of justice, and the families can now start to repair, and I'm glad you have the White House. Let me commend you also for something else you've done. The fact is that the families now need support. They are without a pension, you know, the children are hurting in this family. And so to the extent that the listeners can support the families at this point going forward, it will help former Agent Ramos and Campion get back on their feet and support their families.
Well, on the website, we still have the link. If you look down the right-hand side, you can link to the Ramos and Campion websites where if you want to contribute and help the families out, you can do that. And hopefully, when they're released from jail, we can bring them out here to California and do something really grand for them. Because
that would be great.
People invested a lot emotionally and time-wise with their emails and their phone calls. I know they'd like to see these two guys again. Well, of course, they'd like to have you there too, Ed.
Yeah, Ed, you're invited. We're hoping to do this as soon as they feel comfortable to travel out to Los Angeles, and we'll have a big celebration for them.
And think also about how much it means to other law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line every day and have had this chilling effect. You know, to wonder, might I face, you know, 12 years if I'm up against these drug dealers?
Well, we know when you end up in a brawl and you're tumbling in the dirt and the muck at the Mexican border like Ramos and Campion were, you're fighting a guy, he runs off, he turns, you think you see something shiny coming at you, you think it's a gun. You can't waste even a one millionth of a second on whether, oh, my God, should I shoot? Should I not shoot? Am I going to end up in prison? Am I never going to see my family again? I mean, you can't put any law enforcement officer in that position. You have to give them the benefit of the doubt. There was no conspiracy here. There was no motive to go after Davila. Other than that, they thought their lives were in danger and they were in the midst of a fight with him.
And 700 attacks on our Border Patrol a year, who wouldn't, and our other law enforcement officers on the border, who wouldn't think that the cartel member would be better armed? His own mother and his own sister told a reporter, an investigative reporter, he never went anywhere with a load of drugs unless he was armed.
Look what's going on in Mexico right now. I'm sure you heard that there was some military panel that said Mexico and Pakistan are the two most likely countries this year to fall into chaos.
To
implode. The drug cartels have completely run over Tijuana. Nobody can walk the street safely there. There's literally hundreds and hundreds of bodies being slaughtered during this drug war. How could you not expect a drug runner not to have a weapon on you? I mean, it's insane.
And anything we do to undermine our Border Patrol agents, anything we do to make it clear to the cartels that try to run that border that they can best us or best our agents, really undermines the security of the American public. We have gangs that are now represented in over 100 American cities that are extensions of the cartel. So, you know, to the extent that our Border Patrol agents put their lives on the lines and take these risks in order to try to stop drugs from coming in and stop the cartel gang members from coming in, you know, now's the time to recognize what they've done for the country. And again, you know, my hat's off to you, to the two of you, and also to the listening audience, because I think you made the difference on this.
Well, the audience does it. We just go on the air and tell what we know and get people on who tell what they know, and then the audience either reacts to it or they don't. Speaking of, we had Sarah Carter on earlier, the reporter who was the first media person to get wind of this. And it was her stories in the Inland Valley Daily Bulletin that we then took on to the radio here. And we talked with her last half hour about the inspector general, and I forget the guy's name.
Skinner.
He's the
right
one.
Out of the Simpsons.
He's the one who when Congress was sniffing around talking about hearings over the Ramos-Campion trial, he called some congressmen in the office and said, "We've got secret information. Ramos and Campion were out to kill a Mexican that day. They said as much." And it threw the congressman off the scent for several months. Skinner later admitted that the information was false. It's the executive branch trying to keep the congressional branch from finding out the truth about a bad prosecution?
disinformation. But we, you know, we should have another round of hearings on this. I talked tonight. And thanked a colleague of ours who chairs the Investigative Oversight Committee, Bill Delahunt, for his work on this, and expressed my appreciation. But we should have Congressman Delahunt have another hearing like the ones that we have attended to look at exactly that. The information that was given to members of Congress was a bald-faced, flat-out lie. There should be a consequence for that, because the intent was to besmirch the reputation of these two agents and to prevent us from finding out how they've been railroaded. So at least now we've taken the first step, but we need to follow up.
All right, Ed. Listen, great work. I mean, you got right to the president a short time ago and told him about your feelings regarding Ramos and Compiègne, and that had to have an effect as well. It's just great to know that those two men are going to be reunited with their wives and their children. There's six kids involved here, and that always what weighed on my mind. They're finally going to get reunited in 2 months.
This is America, and we have to strive to make sure that the justice system really works for justice. So thank you.
All right, Ed. We'll see you soon. Efforts. All right, thanks. Bye. Ed Rice, the congressman, Republican from Fullerton.
Another important voice on this issue from Congress was Ted Poe, the Republican from Texas and former judge. He will join us after 4:30. When we come back, we'll play you a couple of clips, including one which is from our fundraiser for Nacho Ramos and Jose Compiègne, which was held back in September of 2006 at the Ayers Hotel in Ontario. We just thought you'd like to hear his voice. Won't be able to talk to him for a while, but we will bring back some memories of what he was going through.
On the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Join KFI AM 640 in celebrating L.A. Arts Month. Take the family out and experience L.A.'s diverse and cultural creativity by visiting a world-class museum. Right now, enter for your chance to win tickets to the Getty and Skirball Cultural Center at KFIAM640.com, keyword arts.
Don't miss Obama's inaugural speech live on KFI tomorrow morning at 8:45. When history is made, KFI is on it.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Ramos and Compiègne free as of March 20th. Their sentence commuted by President Bush.
Yeah, I think Steve Gregory looked into the fact that, well, why do they have to spend two more months in jail? It's got something to do with the commutation laws and the way the sentence was. That's just the way it is. I guess the family will live with that because they're going to have them. And again, remember, they are convicted felons, but they are, as we heard earlier in the show from Joe Loya, the father-in-law of Nacho Ramos, they're going to continue to fight this, so maybe they're going to have these convictions overturned eventually, and they wouldn't be convicted felons. That would be what they're going to be spending a lot of time doing. We're going to talk to Monica Ramos and Patty Compiègne after the news at 5 o'clock. They're both going to be on. You're going to want to hear this to get their reaction here on KFI. I want to play for you now a clip from the show we did. It was really the Friday before Labor Day weekend in 2006 at the Ayers Hotel in Ontario, where we had Border Patrol agents Ramos and Compiègne join us.
This was after their conviction, but before they went to jail.
Yeah, it was just a few months. They went to jail January 07. Just a few months, and we talked to Nacho about what was coming and what were the chances of maybe avoiding jail. So let's listen to this clip.
You've got a wife and three boys, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
And Jose Compiègne has two kids and a third on the way, as I understand. What is this doing to your family?
What hasn't it done to my family? We've just done the best to get by day by day.
How scary is it to think that you won't see your sons for at least 10 years outside the prison?
That's all I've thought about.
How old are they?
6, 9, and 13.
And how are they handling the idea that you might be gone out of the house for the next 10 or 20 years?
Well,
not going to happen, they're saying.
When it first happened and they realized everything, we tried our very best to keep them away from it, to guard them from what was happening so that they wouldn't know. But it was hard for our 13-year-old.
There's no way to keep it from a 13-year-old.
No, especially when you're dealing with teenagers at school that see it on TV as well. And he had to deal with the fact that he had other kids coming up to him saying, "Hey, isn't that your dad? Isn't that the, you know?"
Your dad's a bad guy.
Right. You know, so he had to deal with that. So we had to move him from schools because of that.
And that was a day where we, thanks to the listeners who showed out, I mean, showed up. I couldn't believe that. I remember it was an overflow crowd the entire four-hour show who gave much in donation money to the families of Ramos and Compi. And that was really a sad day, but also a wonderful day, you know? It was both.
People have really been touched by this story. And part of the reason, as you heard in the clip, is that these were two regular family men. I mean, they were ordinary law enforcement agents like hundreds of thousands of others in this country. And they were dealing with a bad guy, a drug runner, who they thought was going to kill him.
The world was upside down. It was more than opposite day for them. It was like opposite years.
And it's, you know, to me, it was one of the low points of the Bush administration, that the Mexican drug runner was protected, given medical aid, given the chance to sue, given a border pass so he could deliver more drugs, that he had his further drug incursions covered up by the U.S. Attorney's Office, Johnny Sutton. And Ramos and Compian, with six kids between them, go to federal prison. I just couldn't think of a worse case of injustice on the part of the prosecution. This is why it's so hard to believe in any institutions anymore. The prosecution, Johnny Sutton, is supposed to be a good guy, and he was the bad guy.
And then he runs around telling people that, well, I thought the sentence was a little harsh. Yeah, they got 11 and 12 years. I don't know how that had happened.
He's the one who authorized charging Ramos and Compian with a federal gun charge that would automatically give them 10 extra years. It was from his pen, from his brain, came the idea, yeah, let's go after him on the federal gun charges. And he knew it was mandatory 10 years. And then after they get the 10 years, he goes around saying, well, yeah, I guess it's a little harsh, as if he had nothing to do with it. Johnny Sutton, I hope, sits in the first circle of hell when he dies for what he's done. What a nasty, rotten, horrible bastard.
He'll probably lose his job with the incoming Obama administration. That's often what happens with the U.S. attorneys.
I hope
clear out the old ones, but not necessarily. We'll have to see. I hope he at least loses his job. All right, when we come back, we will go to Texas, or we will talk to a guy from Texas who may be in Washington, Congressman Ted Poe. He's a former judge, and of course, he's another one who was all over this story from the beginning, trying to get justice for Border Patrol agents Ramos and Compiano. If you're just tuning in, we'll be out of jail on March 20th. That's the big news today. Their sentences commuted by President Bush.
And the Ramos and Compian wives coming up after 5 o'clock. Terry Raymer has the news now. What's going on?
President Bush has commuted the sentence, of course, of Ramos and Compian, as you've heard today.
We felt that it had to be today or tomorrow if it was going to happen.
That's Ignacio Ramos' father-in-law. Ramos and Compian were sentenced to more than 10 years for shooting a Mexican national as he crossed the border into Texas. Ramos and Compian will be released March 20th. President Bush's last full day in office has apparently been low-key. Fox News reporter Mike Emanuel says the president doesn't have any public events planned. He says Bush did go to a party last night,
hosted by Andy Card and Josh Bolton, the two chiefs of staff of the Bush years, and made an appearance there. Went by Condoleezza Rice's apartment for a little dinner.
Bush talked to foreign leaders today during some farewell phone calls, among them Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, and Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. Big crowds are pouring into Washington to see Barack Obama sworn in. Lola Crump from Atlanta says she wanted to see history.
I think that it's awesome that we've progressed this far, that we can have our minds open well enough to elect an African-American president.
Officials are getting ready for as many as 2 million people in Washington. Once Obama takes the oath on Abraham Lincoln's Bible and gives his address tomorrow, he and his family will take part in the parade down Pennsylvania Avenue. You can hear all the inaugural activities going on KFI starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. KFI is the talk station with the most frequent traffic reports.
New crash on the southbound side of the 605 at Washington Boulevard. Something to watch for. It's very heavy from that point toward the 5 freeway. Things have been busy on the 405 freeway northbound as you head up into the Sepulveda Pass. We had a crash a little beyond Sunset Boulevard. It picks up after that. It's not too bad moving into the San Fernando Valley beyond that point. And it's a good ride still on the northbound 405 approaching the Ventura Freeway as we look at the Agua Caliente Casino Resort Spa Camp. Heavy traffic continues eastbound 210 freeway. A lot of slowing left over from an earlier crash at the Santa Anita. The crash is gone, but the heavy traffic continues eastbound eastbound from Lake as you head toward the 605 freeway. Mike Nolan, KFI Traffic.
The median price of a home in Southern California dropped almost 35% in December from a year ago, but home sales did go up, probably because of people buying foreclosures. MDA DataQuick says the median home price in six Southland counties was $278,000 last month, $425,000 in December of 2007. Peak was $505,000 in mid-2007.
The state fund that pays out jobless benefits will run out of money within 2 weeks. I'm Jody Becker. Employers put money in the fund through payroll taxes, but it's nearly tapped out. State officials say you can blame high unemployment. California's jobless rate was 8.4% in November, which is a 15-year high. The state needs a loan to keep cutting checks, but lawmakers have been so focused on fixing the budget that the unemployment benefits have taken a back seat.
Southland weather from KFI, partly cloudy the rest of the day, clear tonight with lows in the 40s, mostly sunny Tuesday, highs in the 70s, maybe a chance of showers by Wednesday. 78 degrees in Burbank. I'm Terry Ray Elmer in the KFI newsroom.
John and Ken show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Ramos and Compion will go free on March 20th, their sentence commuted by President Bush just a day before he finally leaves office.
How about that timing, you know? Right to the very end. He finally made the announcement, or his office did this morning. And again, commuted. Didn't pardon. Commuted means they still are convicted felons, and they will not be released, actually, till March 20th, and they will be under some supervision for a couple of years. Let's get Congressman Ted Poe on the show, the Republican, the former judge, who, of course, is another one to be recognized in all this. He was a big, big supporter of Ramos and Compion and trying to push his colleagues and others to attention to the case.
Ted, thanks for coming on again. Were you surprised when you heard the news?
Oh, yes, I was surprised. I think President Bush had decided not to do anything, but I'm glad that he changed his mind, had some compassion, and cut these two guys loose.
What do you think changed his mind?
I'm not sure, but almost everybody, regardless of which side of the issue people are on, agreed that they got more time. Ramos and Compion got more time than they probably should have. The prosecutors offered them a year in the penitentiary if they plead guilty. Well, they've done two years and 2 months, so they've done twice as much as the prosecution even wanted. And the U.S. attorney that prosecuted the case said they got too much time. So,
he's the one who charged them. He's the one who gave them the gun charge.
I know. He's the one that added, that's what got him an extra 10 years in the penitentiary. But yeah. I think that's the reason, because everybody generally agrees too much time in the penitentiary.
Tell us about the last-minute letter that was signed by almost all the congressmen in Texas, Democrats and Republicans.
31 out of 34 and two former delegation members, and it was hand-delivered by Congressman Culberson.
That's correct. Friday night, as I was speaking on the House floor about this whole case, last speaker during the Bush presidency, Culberson was walking down the street with the letter from 31 of the 34 members of the Texas delegation. Liberals, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, generally believing, hey, it's time to let them go. They've done enough time.
You think that was the final push?
I think it was because these two individuals are from Texas. President Bush, former governor of Texas, he knows all of us personally. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that he decided, hey, okay, time to
because he's going to come home and he's going to see a lot of you people many times over the next.
Yeah, we're still in office, you see.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, he doesn't want to hear about it anymore every time he comes to a gathering.
What do you think?
And he does. He hears about it from people, citizens in the state all the time are asking him about it.
Oh, that's good, because that's what it said. A lot of Texans have been wound up about this. What are the chances of these guys getting their convictions ever overturned? How difficult would that be?
Well, the case is before the Supreme Court. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals threw out most of the allegations of civil rights violations. There's one or two charges left. Supreme Court is going to hear that probably in February. We're going to ask President-elect Obama to pardon these individuals. We have a bipartisan letter we're already working on, so we're not really through with this case yet.
Sarah Carter, the news reporter who originally broke this story, said that one of the petitions to the president was signed by Rahm Emanuel. I don't know when this letter was sent, but apparently he signed off on it too, and now he's the chief of staff.
Well, that's good news. Certainly is good news. It has been bipartisan. This is one of the few things members of Congress, the majority of, have agreed on.
Well, that's what
these two individuals should be released.
I've noticed that there was never any constituency wanting to punish them any more than they've been punished.
That's correct.
I mean, and the only one defending this case publicly has been Johnny Sutton, and he's been doing a crappy job of that. So I never, you know, it seemed something that was so rarely do you see an issue where there's so much widespread general agreement.
And also the American public. You know, the American public attention span is minutes. And this has been around for 2 years, and thanks to people like y'all and other media sources, the American public is still talking about this. They've been wanting something done. American public, most members of Congress, people in law enforcement say, hey, this was not the right thing to do to prosecute these people. Time to let Ramos and Campion out of the penitentiary.
All right, Ted. Well, thanks very much for your work that you've done on this. It's great, great to finally come to this conclusion.
It is. It is. It's a good day.
All right, Ted. Thanks a lot.
Congressman Ted Poth, we appreciate talking to you. Now, just to show you, this is not something Bush does too often, comparing him to other two-term presidents of recent years, which would be Clinton and Reagan, he has issued fewer than half as many pardons and commutations as Reagan and Clinton in their two-year tenures. Only 189 pardons, only 11 commutations. So this is two of the 11 that Bush granted in his 8 years in office.
The previous round of pardons included a guy who was convicted of some kind of border smuggling. And off the top of my head, I can't remember if it was drugs or people. But I saw that last month, and I thought, geez, he pardons a guy involved in border smuggling, but he's not going to pardon or commute the sentence of Ramos and Campion. This redeems him slightly.
Yeah.
I had.
See, you said you never wanted to hear from him again, remember? Now you have to take that back.
That's true. That's true. I did say that last week. I didn't want to hear
from
him again.
One last slightly redeeming act.
I was shocked this morning. I had done an interview with a Denver radio host just last week who was also agitating about this case, and he asked me if I thought Bush would do it, and I said, no, I couldn't see it. I flat out didn't see it because he'd been so stubborn on this for so long. You know, why would he suddenly do it in the final day? We got a couple of more clips to play. What I want to play is Neil Cavuto from Fox News asking Bush about Ramos and Campion. This goes back to January 31st of 2007.
Almost two years old.
Listen to this.
Let me ask you, sir, about the ex-Border Patrol agents Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion, both serving time in jail for shooting a runaway Mexican drug dealer. Would you pardon them?
You know, I get asked about pardons on a lot of different cases, and there's a procedure in place. And what I told members of Congress who have written me, are called, was just look at the case. Look at the facts in the case. And people need to understand why these folks were sent to trial and why a jury of their peers convicted them. And that's, of course, what a president does on any pardon request.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying I would look at all the facts, and but there is a process in any case for a president to make a pardon decision. In other words, there is a series of steps that are followed so that the pardon process is, you know, a rational process.
Well, they're in jail now. They're not going anywhere.
Right. That's right.
So as things stand now, they'll stay in jail.
As things stand now, they'll serve their sentence. Right.
Unless you interfere.
Right, but what I'm trying to tell you is that there is a series of steps that are analyzed in order for the Justice Department to make a recommendation as to whether or not a president grants a pardon.
And we're not at that yet.
No, we're not at that stage yet.
All he did is explain the process in as bland a generic way that he could, which is just frustrating to listen to. You could see it was frustrating Cavuto as well. It's like, so what are you talking about? You got to pardon him or not?
There was a story, and I think it was in the New York Times. I had saved it, but I forgot where I put it, that says that there is an intricate network of attorneys and lobbyists in Washington, D.C., who just, that's all they do, John, is badger the president's office and his staff for pardons and commutations. It's sort of like if you're not on the inside track, meaning you have the money to pay these guys, the track record shows you don't get the pardon or the commutation. So even that is tainted by lobbying and money. And
that was the big. That was the last scandal when Clinton went out the door. He was selling pardons on his way out.
And knowing these two Border Patrol agents who don't have a lot of money, a lot of connections, they did have a lot of congressmen fighting for them, but they didn't have these high-powered attorneys who can step in there and get the right access and make the big arguments. I really was not optimistic here in the last week that they were going to get this.
I don't even know if it's the right arguments. It's just about paying some big shot lawyer in Washington who's buddies with somebody inside the White House. And so your friend calls you up and you say, okay, who's on your pardon list this year? It's like finding out what's your Santa Claus list. Who do you want pardoned? And the buddy says, well, I got 10 guys here and they've all paid me $100,000. So, you know, I got it. And you want to help out your buddy because after your administration is out of office, you might be working for your buddy. And if you know your buddy, your law buddy is getting a huge retainer representing these 10 clients, well, you got to do something for your buddy. He's got to keep his reputation so he can keep charging those big retainers, which means he's got to be able to brag, hey, look, I got an X percent success rate, or I've gotten 52 people pardoned over the years. You come to me, you pay me the retainer. That's how the real world works. This idea about process, Justice Department recommendations, oh, blow it. It's not the way it works.
One of the other congressmen who was key in fighting for Ramos and Compion and their families to get them out of prison was Dana Rohrabacher. We're going to talk now to Tara Setmeyer, his press secretary, who did visit the agents in jail on a number of occasions.
Tara, welcome to the John and Ken Show.
Thank you, guys, well, and what a glorious day today is, I'll tell you.
Well, your boss, Dana Rohrabacher, he was the loudest, I think, out of all the congressmen about this. He was genuinely furious. I rarely see a congressman express that kind of anger and frustration publicly against a president from his own party, but Rohrabacher really went for it in the last year.
Well, sure, because he, you know, Congressman Rohrabacher is, one thing you can say about him is that he is an honest guy. And I always say that he's a man of the people because he really felt the plight of these two Border Patrol officers. You know, he grew up from humble beginnings and his dad was in the military and he understood, what these families were going through. So he really personalized this case and I have to thank him for allowing me to have such an important role in this. I had a very unconventional role as a communications director.
Describe
directly
your role.
On this case.
What did you do that was different than normal?
Well, let's just say that whether I wanted to or not, I became pretty much the point person on this case in the Congress. The congressman would come to me about this because Dana allowed me to go visit the agent Ramos after he was assaulted in prison 2 years ago, and it really started from that day that it became our joint crusade, because I come from a law enforcement family, so it was very personal for me as well to make sure that this injustice was righted. So I've been very involved behind the scenes and to help work this through and make sure that the American people didn't forget about this. I'm definitely was a thorn in the side to the Bureau of Prisons.
Yeah.
And the White House, they weren't very happy with me either. They even tried to get me disinvited from a fundraiser in Houston over the summer when they found out I was attending and that the president would be there.
What kind of fundraiser?
It was a fundraiser for Pete Olson, who was who ran for Tom DeLay's old seat in Houston. And I've been to Texas many times working with folks down there on this effort.
So
with
the Bush
they were afraid you were going to badger the president.
That's exactly what they said. They basically said, what is Rohrabacher's staffer doing in Texas? And she better not be there to embarrass the president on that border agent case. Unbelievable, right? I didn't know whether to be flattered or scared to death.
And who'd you hear that from?
Oh, I heard that directly from people involved with the fundraiser. The congressman's fundraising committee called me personally to ask me what exactly were you coming? I was coming as an invited guest of somebody else. I was invited as a guest. Yeah.
Wow. So they really took this personally, this constant harassment over Ramos Compion.
A stunner today, Tara? Will you guys get any word recently that this might come down? What did you know?
Well, I've been working very closely with some folks behind the scenes who have ties to the president in Texas. And the door wasn't exactly closed, but there was always still some hope. We were not getting a definite no. So that encouraged us to continue putting the pressure on. And, last week we really had a full out blitz. I said, listen, I decided that commutation was the way to go months before, once we found out that the Fifth Circuit denied their case. We said, oh, we need to go for commutation. The president is never going to pardon them. So we felt as though the best argument we had was their conditions of confinement, which since I visited Ramos 4 times in prison, I could speak with authority on what it was like. The conditions of confinement, the fact that that 10-year gun law had never been used before in this capacity in its 40-year history on the books, and the fact that Even Johnny Sutton himself, in his own words, acknowledged on more than half a dozen occasions that this punishment was, in fact, excessive. So we had press conferences. We had a full-page ad taken out in the Washington Times, some of the grassroots people did. And then the final straw, I believe, was the letter from Senator Culberson. He spearheaded an effort to get members of Congress from Texas, the entire Texas delegation, bipartisan, minus three, sent a letter on Thursday night, hand-delivered to the White House, saying, Mr. President, please, from Texan to Texan, please let these men go.
Terrific work, Tara. Congratulations for everything you've done.
I'm just thrilled that for the families. We've developed a bond, and I talk to Nacho Ramos from prison every other week to make sure that he's okay. And I have to tell you that this is one of the most rewarding days of my life, and I'm thankful to Congressman Rohrabacher for letting me do it and for all the millions of American people who supported this case. This is really a victorious, glorious day for the
family. Well, we hope you can make our get-together when they get out of prison that we're planning in a couple of months.
I will certainly be there.
All right, Tara Sentmeyer.
And tell Dana to come, too. John will hug him.
If it's in California, I think he'll make it.
All right. All right, Tara.
Sarah Zettmeyer, the press secretary, communications director for Dana Rohrabacher, who was tireless.
Mrs. Ramos and Mrs. Compien coming up after 5 o'clock on the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
So what will President Obama's first day be like? We'll do that at 7. And, of course, the swearing-in of our new president live at 9 a.m. That's all tomorrow, right here on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Your handle, 5 to 9.
KFI AM 640.
Tonight on Kennedy in Suits, who was the greatest American president of all time? Well, it's kind of a trick question. He takes his oath of office tomorrow. Our countdown to Nirvana tonight on Kennedy in Suits.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Right after 5 o'clock, after Terry Ray's newscast, we are going to talk to the wives of the two former Border Patrol agents who will be out of jail March 20th. It's the big news today. Bush commuting their sentences. So Monica Ramos and Patty Compien will be with us right when we come back after 5.
One of the snakes of the Bush administration is Karl Rove. He was the dope who thought that if you gave amnesty to the illegal aliens and had an open border, you'd get Hispanics to vote Republican.
Bush's brain.
Of course.
That was a documentary about him.
Well, Bush's brain didn't work too well.
Seized up?
Because when you let poor people into the country, they almost always vote Democratic. I am convinced that this was a political prosecution. And in some warped way, Karl Rove thought that if they went after American Border Patrol guards, this would play well with Hispanics.
But they were Latino Border Patrol guards.
Details. So here's Karl Rove on Fox News Channel on Ramos and Compien, I guess, today.
The president believes these people, as he said in a statement today, these two men, they were federal law enforcement officers who have a high responsibility to uphold the law, and they didn't. They shot at this man whom they suspected to be a drug dealer but didn't know. They then tried to hide the fact that they had discharged their firearms, not once, not twice, but like 15 or 16 times. That's dangerous. That's troubling when federal law enforcement lies.
I understand.
So you know, he thought about it carefully and long and hard and came to the conclusion that they had suffered enough. They'll never be federal law enforcement officers again. It was right that they were found guilty, but he felt their penalty was too severe.
Okay.
And he wanted to make certain before he left office that they were commuted.
What a jackass. And look, he blew up the Republican Party. He wanted to create a Republican dominance for a generation. Look what happened. He's an idiot. He's no genius.
McCain didn't do that well with the Latino vote in the last election.
No, because poor people vote Democratic. What a buffoon.
All right, when we come back, the wives of former Border Patrol agents Nacho Ramos and Jose Compien will join us for our first interview with them.
Terry Raymer has the news now on the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Monday, January 19th.
Hey, knock it off. I'm trying to identify the station. KFI.
Los Angeles, Orange County.
News on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks.
President Bush has decided to let two ex-Border Patrol agents out of prison. I'm Terry Ray Elmer.
The feds notified Ignacio Ramos and Jose Compien that their sentences have been commuted.
We were not over-optimistic, but we did have faith, and we
We felt that it had to be today or tomorrow.
That's Ramos's father-in-law, Joe Loya. Ramos and Compion had been sentenced to over 10 years for shooting and wounding an illegal alien drug smuggler. The two men have been in prison for over 2 years, and Loya says there are no coming home parties planned. They just want Ramos home safe and sound.
Of course, we're